Hello, my name is Diana Dirkby, and I live with paranoid schizophrenia. You are listening to my podcast, Schizophrenia as I Live It. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about my forthcoming novel, which is entitled Three Kidnapped, Three Siblings, Three Furies, and which will appear this spring. Now, it's a novel in the horror thriller genre, and I'll explain a little bit later on why I chose that genre for the novel. What I wanted to mention first is that there is one character in the novel called Isabel Morse, who is 35 years of age, who lives with paranoid schizophrenia. Now, in the novel, she is managing her schizophrenia very well and has been in a good place with it for some time. However, she still is the target of stigma from certain people in the town where she lives. It's a town of 5,000 people. And she relies very, very much on her best friend, who is a Catholic priest called Father Lewis, who she sees once a week to talk about whatever may be worrying her in her interaction with the town society as a whole. She's gifted. She is an academic whose specialty is the classics, and she works from home for an online university writing content and correcting the exams for subjects concerning the classics. The thing that she likes the most, her real passion, are the Greek myths, and she is the go-to person for many people when it comes to the Greek myths. Now, what I've said so far is all we see of Isabel Morse's schizophrenia. Now, as you know, I have published a book, The Overlife, A Tale of Schizophrenia, where schizophrenia and a very full description of what it's like to have a deep relapse of schizophrenia was covered. But I didn't want to do this in the second novel because I wanted to stress the fact that even when you live with a mental illness, you are also lots of other things that aren't your mental illness. I mean, you have interests, you have passions, you have friends, you have stories to tell that have nothing to do with your mental illness. Now, what is rather confusing for people, I know in my case, is that when I do have a relapse, the relapse is pretty all enveloping. So it takes up all my effort, it takes up my thoughts, it affects my interaction with people. And my method by now is to lay extremely low with my wonderful spouse and to get to work with my doctors in order to manage whatever's going on. But once I'm managing the schizophrenia well, which is currently the situation, for example, there are many things in my life. I mean, I'm not just someone living with schizophrenia who has these relapses, which are really terrible, and then I get over them, but that's really all there is to me. And unfortunately, stigma will do that. I mean, people who are already prejudiced about mental illness from what they see in the media most often or what they've read or from having known someone living with a mental illness, they're inclined to think of you as always sick. Now, of course, I always have schizophrenia, whether I'm doing well or whether I'm doing badly, but I'm not just sick. I'm also a person with many, many interests and many friends and an interesting history that has nothing to do with schizophrenia. So Isabel Morse's role in the novel is to be the authority on the Greek myths. Now, the novel starts with the kidnapping of three teenage children from three different families in a town of about 5,000 people that I've set in East Texas. And this is kind of like the first horror, if you like, but it gets much, much worse, and the story quickly evolves into a horror story because of what the kidnappers say they are doing to the kidnapped teens. And then it moves on to the thriller horror genre, in that the thriller part is, you know, you can stop this horror if you work out the thriller part. So at some point, the kidnappers give enough clues as to what the thriller is that you have to solve. And that thriller involves the Greek myths. So the only person in the town who is competent to talk about the Greek myths is Isabel Morse, and she therefore becomes a very important part of solving the thriller part of the novel and getting these kidnapped children home. Now, how the sibling abuse comes in, that's the three siblings part of the title. That is something I don't want to divulge right now because it's part of the mystery part, part of the thriller part of the novel. But it's by far the most important part. So it's really a novel about sibling abuse with a twist, in that the sibling abuse is not just approached in our reality, but it's approached using an alternate reality that was familiar to people who know the Greek myths, or the people who you know, the oral tradition that came from the Greek myths that was eventually written down, and so on. People who've lived in that world are better able to understand the mystery than people who have had no contact with the Greek myths. And so Isabel Morse is very important, and she very early on identifies the three furies from the Greek myths as being somehow part of it all, part of the kidnapping process. And as sibling abuse is the main feature of the novel, the three furies are relevant because in Greek mythology, they often punish wrongdoing within families. They punish wrongdoing in general, but what they're especially passionate about punishing is wrongdoing within families. And somehow this problem of sibling abuse is so bad that it's only through horror and thriller that is finally outed in these families, that these families finally have to confront the fact that sibling abuse has occurred in their family. So it was a challenge to write. I mainly know about sibling abuse through friends who have been through it and have told me a lot about it. So I had to make sure that I read many other accounts written by people who have been through sibling abuse. I knew something about the Greek myths, but I did a lot of background reading on the Greek myths to make sure I was getting it right. Now, the Greek myths, you know, it was originally an oral tradition, and they're very old, so every myth has several versions and more than several interpretations, which is fine because, this is a fiction book, not a nonfiction book, and it's not a text on the Greek myths. But I did want to get it right, and I had to research a little bit about what happens when children get kidnapped. How do the police react? How does the FBI react? And so on. So I'm very excited about the book. I'm very excited about having this character who lives with schizophrenia but who is so crucial through her life's passion, which is the Greek myths, that has nothing to do with her mental illness. And I'm appalled by sibling abuse, and I'm very pleased to have found what I think is an original way to feature it in a fiction novel where the right thing ends up being done. Minus a couple of characters. So there's a couple of characters who, from one family, who will not admit that abuse occurred. But by then, the abused children have support from the outside, and one of the people who is supporting them is Isabel Morse. So she is important in many, many ways. Now, her best friend is a Catholic priest, Father Lewis, and she knows a lot about Catholicism because she's interested in beliefs as well as being interested in the classics. And the Catholic priest does a very good job of going along with Isabel Morse's train of thinking, even though, you know, he's Catholic and he believes in another belief system. And for him, it's not the three Furies who are of any importance, but the Holy Trinity. He does a wonderful job of putting to one side what he lives for, essentially, which is the Catholic faith, and letting the Greek myths take over at the relevant point. And so I wanted to have a character like that in the novel to highlight the contrast and to bring home that, you know, if you have a really bad problem and you can't solve it by thinking about how everybody else thinks about it, you may have to find a unique way to think about it. But what is important is to talk about it, to find someone you trust, to find someone who will give you a voice. And in all the three cases of sibling abuse treated in the novel, so they're roughly speaking physical, emotional, and sexual, the abused children have no voice outside the family until the three Furies intervene, the three Furies from the Greek myths. So I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it. It is, after all, a thriller horror, so I don't want it to be that I tell you the whole story. I assure you I've left a great deal out. But I did want to – I am excited about this character, Isabel Morse, living with schizophrenia and contributing to – so importantly to the plot of the novel through what is not schizophrenia but her life's passion, the Greek myths. So I'm pleased that she's there with everybody else trying to figure out how to stop the horror. So that's all I have to say today. And as always, I thank you for listening. And I hope that you will give thought, if you haven't already, to looking at my book, The Overlife, A Tale of Schizophrenia. And don't forget, it has a website, overliveschizophrenia.com. Now, the website has a number of different pages. I've reorganized it somewhat. So the blog and the podcast are no longer on the homepage. They have their own separate pages. So I have a blog I write about once a week, and this podcast I try to do once a week, but I think it's about 10 days since I did the last one, so it doesn't always work out. Okay, so wherever you are, whoever you are, thank you for listening, and please check in for my next podcast. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.